Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the Inside Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted today to be back on our Blog Talk Radio for the study of the Word of God. I just give God all the praise, all the glory, all the honor on today. I bless His holy name, for God is good and His mercy endureth forever. I'm going to get ready to just have a short devotion, a song, a scripture, and a prayer, and then I'll start the reading of the Word of God. A scripture, a song, and a prayer. I'm going to be reading from 138, Psalms 138. I would praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name. For thy loving kindness magnify thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the word of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for the greatest, the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respected unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerning me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the work of thy own hand. I have just read you from Psalms 138 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all the doers of His most holy word. We're going to just have a song.
Come on now. No.
Every other voice is a lie. God provides. God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything so you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes and no more need fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat. But what you see this all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? Nothing can divide all the things I see. And my feelings can't control my destiny. no more need fight. Watch God provide.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just come right now, God, just confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I come now, Lord, asking you to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach us on tonight. Open up our understanding of your word, God. We have no knowledge of ourselves, but it's from you, God, that we get any kind of knowledge, any kind of wisdom, God. So I'm asking you now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to move by your power, God. I'm asking you now, God, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, God. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord. I ask you right now to give us a clear understanding, God, of your word, things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. 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 So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read through these two short paragraphs, and the last two paragraphs in 2 Kings won't take but a minute, and we're going to answer the questions. And then we're going to discuss these last two, because these are the last two chapters are very good in 2 Kings, chapter 24 and 25. These are the two last, and they're short chapters too. Okay, it's a lot of names in here I probably won't be able to say right, so y'all bear with me. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him, and the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldees and bands of Syrians and bands of Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord. Surely at the commandments of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sin of Manasseh according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. And the king of Egypt came not again anymore out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt unto the river of Euphrates all that pertained to the king of Egypt. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did not that which was evil, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father had done. At that time, the servant of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servant did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servant, his prince and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord. And the Lord, he said, as the Lord had said, carried away all Jerusalem and all the prince and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and his smiths, none remained. save the poorest sort of people. The poor is sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon and the king's mother and the king's wives and his officers and the mighty of the land. Those carried he unto captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000 and craftsmen and smiths and thousands, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Tina, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass that Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon, chapter 25. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his hosts, against Jerusalem and pitched it, and they built forts against it around about. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of the king Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round and about, and the king went the way toward the plain, and the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon to Riblah. And they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters and brass and carried him to Babylon. Fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon came to Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guards, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the house of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burned he with fire, and all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guards break down the walls of Jerusalem round and about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city, in the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude, did Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the base and the basin sea that were in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon, and the pots and the shovels and the snuffoons and all the vessels of brass were with they ministered took they away, and the fire pan and the bowls and such things as were of gold in gold and in of silver in silver, the captain of the guard took away, and the two pillows, one sea, and the base which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the brass and all these vessels was without weight. The height of the one pillar was 18 cubits, and the chapter upon it was brass, and the height of the chapter 3 cubits, and the wreath work and the pomegranates upon the chapter round and about, and all the bread and like unto these had the second pillar were wreathing work. And the captain of the guard took Sariah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the of the door, and out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, and five men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the city. And Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guards, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. And as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, who Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam ruler. And when all the captains of the armies, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon, he made Gedaliah Gedaliah governor, there came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the Jehohanan, the son of Kareah, and Sariah, the son of, Tanhumath, and Tophiathite, and the Jazaniah, the son of the Maccathite, they and their men, and the Gedaliah swore to them and to their men, and said unto them, fear not to be the servant of the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. But it came to pass in the 7th month that Ishmael, the son of Nehaniah, the son of Elishama, of the sea roar, came, and 10 men with him, and smote Gedaliah, that he died, and the Jews and the Chaldeans that were with him at Mizpah, and all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the army arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees. 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 7th and 20th day of the month, that even more that king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spake kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Amen. We're going to get ready to answer these questions. And then we're going to talk about 2 Kings. The first question is, what nation came up against Egypt and Judah? What nation came up against them? It's in verse 10. Wait a minute. Verse 10. Amen. It was Babylon came up against them. Who did the king of Babylon carry away captive from Judah? I'm not even waiting on y'all to answer, because I already got the answer. Verse 12. Babylon, they carried, the king of Babylon carried away all the royal household, all the officers, the fighting men, and the craftsmen were taken. I think that's it. Wait a minute. I mean, they took all of their stuff away anyway, but that's part of it right there. That's part of it in verse 12. Mm-hmm. Because they took all of their stuff out. Who did the king of Babylon put in charge of the people left in Judah? That's in verse 18. Zedekiah was made king of Judah. Mm-hmm. Okay, the 24. How long did King Nebuchadnezzar besiege the city of Jerusalem? How long? Is it verse 2? And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. So 11 years, let me see. Yeah. Okay. What happened to Zedekiah and his sons? What happened to them? It's in verse 6 and 7 or of 25. 7 more, so 7th and 6th. So 7 says, and they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and then put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. Okay? Okay. Who was made governor over Judah? Like verse 23 I got. And when all the captain of the armies, they and their men heard that King of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor. See, he made him governor, Gedaliah. Or Jeliah, whatever that name is. Okay. Last question. Who released Jehoiakim from prison? Then 27 verse. Y'all ain't answer none of these questions. What's wrong with y'all tonight? Eva Merodach. He was the latter king of Babylon. So I guess I just start talking and just start kind of talking about this. So what I was wondering just for myself, why every time they have a king that sinned, he be taken into captivity. It's like God punishes them right on the spot. Because every time here lately, a king has sinned or done that was evil in God's sight, he'll let the Babylonians, whoever it is, come and get them and take them into captivity, just like he said, he wiped Jerusalem and Judah out of his face. So he allowed them to come and get them. And then after they did that, they tore up the house and burned up the house of the Lord and all that kind of stuff. A lot of stuff was happening in those days. I was just reading. I said every time they sin like that, God allowed them to fall and to go into captivity. Mm-hmm. And see, this land right here, the land that God had gave Israel, why did Babylon have it? They're in control of it, of that area. And they shouldn't have been. But you know, God said for Israel to take the land, and they wasn't taking it no way. They was trying to pay the people to stay there. The people was paying them and all kind of stuff. But they were supposed to go in and take that man, and they didn't. Then the reason why, again, is that they have continued in sin. That's the reason why they don't have the land. That's the reason why the Babylonians always God allowed them to take from them and put them in captivity, because they sin all the time. They were sinning all the time. They continually in sin and in their rebellion against God. Remember that God had given them an occupancy of the land on the condition that they were obedient. Hold on one second. Yeah, they were, you had to be obedient. That's how God was that was a condition for them to even get the land. And then God, if they had a done right, God was going to give them an unconditional covenant. You know, but he had to put that obedience in there. If they weren't obedient, they couldn't get it. Then, okay. And all they, I mean, the Babylonians took all of their, all of the stuff. They allowed them to take. But God was allowing them to do it because of the sin that was in the land. We're almost there. A lot of things happening to us because of our disobedience, because that we still turn our backs on God. We do everything we're not supposed to do. That's what we do. And one day, I mean, it's already bad. It's going to get worse if we don't start being obedient to what God is saying. Mm-hmm. And that's what I know for myself, because I'm looking at things that's happening every day. Even the weather, I mean, God is speaking through even the control of the weather. You know, I heard the weatherman say, which I keep my television on there all the time, he was saying the warmness brings rain. And when it brings rain, rain messes up stuff, mudslides, all kind of stuff. Just turn up the earth and the ground and everything. And we don't see that. We just think it's rain. It's okay. It's not snow. It's rain. It's okay. It's not okay. The warmer the weather is, the worse off it is. The warmer the weather is where it's supposed to be cold, it's not good. It's just not good, but it's God's business because it's God's weather. But it's really, really, really dangerous. And to me, God always have to do things with the land to try to show us. Always have to allow us to go through with the land as well. A lot of times, you know, he get us another way. But a lot of times he get us with the land, the famine in the land, and all that kind of stuff. We need to really look at this stuff, because I'm telling you, if we don't change our ways, if we don't be obedient unto the Lord like we're supposed to, I'm telling you, if we would just humble ourselves, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, and repent. That's the thing about it. We might say, well, I'm sorry or something like that, but we don't, that's not true repentance. True repentance is when you say you're sorry and mean it, and then you turn. But when you don't turn, it don't mean none to God, because he already know we're going to go back and do the same thing. So that he allowed them to go, Judah and Jerusalem, all the way. All this stuff that they had to go, they have to go through, because they turn against God. He said he didn't even want them in his presence. He just said, take them away. That's crazy. Because of disobedience, God will shut you down. He'll pull the cover off of you, and he will shut you down. Yes, he will. He'll shut you down. So this is what we have to look at. We have to apply this stuff to our lives. I mean, I was just reading. I'm saying, why are they? He started letting them go into captivity because they continually to sin, and over again. Just over, the more he proved himself to Judah and Jerusalem, the more they turned their back against him. That's just crazy. That's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Then, when you go through so much, and you go through a lot of trouble, trouble can only do one or two things to an individual. It's either going to soften you, or you're going to get harder. Two things. And it's just like how the sun softens wax. But that same sun will harden clay. This is all I'm saying. When the sun can take a piece of wax and melt it, but that same sun sitting up there in the sky will take some clay and harden it. So then we have to know either you're going to be soft or you're going to be hard. I mean, one or the other. One or the other. We got to do this. We got to be one or the other, and God knows which one we're going to be. And see, and then the false prophet over there in chapter 24, verse 20, was trying to tell them that God was with them, but God was not with them. God was not on their side because they had sinned so bad. They had sinned so bad. He was steadily allowing them to go through things, to go through problems and stuff because of their sin. Because of their sin. I'm telling you, it's where it's just like what we're going through. Now, I'm just, you know, I look and I try not to look too hard because it's not hard to see. It's not hard to notice. It's not hard to realize the world is going through problems because of their disobedience, their unbelief, their faithlessness. I mean, they're faithless. They just going through stuff. And they say trouble don't last always, but if you will not repent, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, if you don't do what God is calling you, do what you think God's going to do, you're going to keep going through that stuff and going through it daily until you turn. Either you're going to be like wax and soften, or you're going to be like clay and stay hard. Either one, it says hard, not your heart. We're not hard, not supposed to be hard like that. But you can. You can to know. This one thing we have to know, that God sits high and he looks low. And God is not going to change his, I don't care who we think we are. We got to go straight in through the door. The only way to the Father is through Jesus. And the only way we're going to get anywhere close, we got to have an obedient heart. Not disobedient, obedient heart. We got to continually to stay out of sin as much as possible. Every time we studied a chapter here in the book of Kings, he was taking one down, send one up. He taking out a king, he'll set another one up. Just like that, over and over. I mean, it don't be 6 months sometimes. He take one, put one up, he take another one down. Because they was doing evil in the sight of God. Just like these presidents, just like all of these leaders, even in the church, he'll take one, put one up, take the other one down. Can't nobody do that but God. Can't nobody do that. Because promotion only come from above. Only come from, it don't come from the north or the south. It come from north up. But it don't come from the east or the west. It come from up. That's how we get our promotions. And God is the only one that can take a preacher and take him down and put another one up. Because you can't fire a preacher. The only one that can fire him is God. So same thing he's doing about these kings. When they doing evil, teaching the people how to do evil, allowing them to carry on evil, these kings, the kings. I'm telling you, this is really, really something right here. Because every time, every day, they sin. Every time you look around, it's one of these kings, the Moabites and all these, letting them sin. Just letting them do what they want to do. Nebuchadnezzar and all of them, they doing what they want to do right now. Right now. But God's going to have the last word. He's going to have the last say-so over everything, just like today, just like now, in these times and ages and seasons. We have to go through so many things. We have to go through so many things because of our ignorance. People perish for the lack of knowledge. We didn't know we supposed to do this when we supposed to do that. If we study, we'll know the word of God. We'll know what we're supposed to do. We'll know what we're supposed to do. But right now, I just don't know. I don't know. Sin is in the camp, in this camp, killing all of the kings and stuff like that. Call me. I'm going to start turning my phone off. When I have to, I can't turn it off, but I don't know. I just saw so much when I was reading today and this morning. It just seemed like the whole chapter of First and Second Kings is when he was just taking them down. And another one, I mean, there's so many kings over there that over in, we're going to see it. We're going to see it. And when we see it, we're going to know what God is doing. God is going to let us see what he is doing. God is doing, he's doing some things, but it's just like the different presidents, you know, or the different leaders. The different leaders that God give us. To me, he give us leaders the way we act, just like he gave them the leaders the way that they act. It's I don't know. Wait a minute. Do we have any questions, any comments, any of that? Wait a minute. I mean, it was good. It was very good. Very, very good. Very, very good. I really enjoyed everything. Everything I enjoyed. So, you know, I thank and praise God for this opportunity. But we finna really go into some deep stuff. It's going to start off with a genealogy or in the Book of Chronicles. And I just love the Book of Chronicles because it's talking about all the descendants. I mean, I don't know what yours, my Bible has. Let me see this other Bible, see if it has the same thing. It's telling about the descendants of everybody. And this for sure, I'm going to type and put it in my, put it in the notebook for this, because this really tells us where we come from. See, a lot of churches don't do this. But we need to know what tribe we come out of. I looked it up the other day. Some people don't know where they come from. You know, They just don't know. They I guess they're not curious enough to know. But I wanted to know what tribe I come out of, and why. Why do we have to be here and you know, out of this tribe? So I did pan out, you know. I found out the other day what tribe we were from, and I'm just gonna keep that. Yeah, this is the generations of Abraham and David and Jacob and stuff like that. We need to know from Adam on down. We need to know where we come from. We need to know what tribe we come out of. And I looked it up the other day, and it was right. It's good. Okay, let me see. Let me see that. And then at the last part of this chapter, they broke into the city, and the king with his troops tried to escape, but they were captured. But I'm trying to get to where they burnt down the church. They burnt down the church. And so, and they was burning up the king houses and stuff like that. It's just like the enemy. You know, he don't want the church standing. Nothing, nobody concerning the church, the Lord, that do he want to leave standing. So every chance he gets to mess up something pertaining to the kingdom of heaven, or to God, I mean to the kingdom, he trying to tear it up. He trying to do it. So believe me, it's not easy, but we have to stand anyway. It says the enemy broke into the city, and the king with his troop tried to escape, but they were captured. And the prophet Jeremiah had predicted the fall of Jerusalem. And he was considered a traitor because he told the people the truth. Now, Jeremiah told the people the truth. See? And that's when they said he was deceived by false. The man was deceived by false prophets, but would not listen to God's prophets. Because Jeremiah was telling them the truth, and he listened to the false prophets. Mm-hmm. So that's when they got Zedekiah and his sons. They slew his sons right before his eyes. Then they blinded him. That's crazy. But that's some punishment for us. That's some punishment. It is real. This was really a good last part of 2 Kings. I really, really, really enjoyed this book. But then, let me see. It says the army of Nebuchadnezzar really cleaned house. The temple was clean now before it was destroyed with fire. So Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. All the wealth was carried away into Babylon. All the stuff that Solomon, all the brass and all the cups and everything they had, the brass and the silver, all the fine vessels they took from the temple that they had stored away in the temple. King Nebuchadnezzar, he had them to take it to Babylon. And they destroyed the house of the Lord. I'm telling you, it's really, really a sad thing. But it's only because Jerusalem and Judah was sinning so much continually. And God just didn't want to see them. He didn't want them around him to the side. Let them get captured. And they was in captivity. They couldn't do anything. All those things that Solomon took time to build and build that temple and for the Lord, and then all the brass and all the gold and all that stuff that was in there, the silver that they got, the Babylonians got, didn't even believe in God. It's terrible. Just like today, you know, a lot of us we don't believe that stuff. We just hear it, but because if we believed it, we would do better. when you know better, you ought to do better. But none of us do that. And it's somebody named Eva Moroda. His first name is Evil, so you know he's evil. Oh, my God. He was on the throne of the Babylon. So all of this Jerusalem had to go through, all of this Judah had to go through because of their continually sinning, continually disobedience. I'm telling you, all those kings that came to the throne, God was sitting them up, tearing them back down, put one up, taking one down, just over, continuously. It's crazy. It's crazy, but he can do it.
Apostle, I'm sorry to interrupt. What chapter are you in?
We in 24-25, 2 Kings.
24-25.
The last two chapters in the 2 Kings. Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's about done, but yeah, it was a good chapter. It's really, really good. Mm-hmm. Yes, good. And it just make you wonder and think about the trouble and all the problems the right king went through. And a lot of them, they were killed and stuff like that, because they didn't have enough people or men to help them. But if they did what God told them to do, God would help them. But they went against God all the time. I just don't see it. If you know that you got God on your side, why would you go against what he said to do what a false prophet say? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. But is there any comments or any questions, if you have any questions or comments? Okay, I guess y'all know it then. I guess they know it then.
Well, I don't really have so much of a question. I kind of do in a way, but grace and peace unto all. From God our Father. Bless you, Apostle. Problem here, what gets to me the most is when people don't know when to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about Josiah. After Josiah dies, coming into the reign where Judah now is being overtaken by their enemies. If everybody knew how to play their position, we wouldn't have to go through the same cycles all over again, dealing with who's going to do this, who's going to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that it's being taken over. Now, if we look at it carefully, while this is being taken over by King Nebuchadnezzar, you got to realize this is a younger version of the man that's getting ready to come up in the latter years.
Mm-hmm.
If you like history, this is a younger version. He's leaving battle now. This is when you know that your enemies are not that strong, because Nebuchadnezzar just left battle, and he's on his way to his father's kingdom. And while he's on his way to his father's kingdom, he runs across, or a thought appears into his mind, or he had an epiphany, or God spoke to him. Because God does speak to your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to realize this is not a devil thing. This is a God thing.
Right.
So that's another thing. How do we know what's God and what's not God? we always blame the enemy as, you know, he's, oh, man, the devil sure is busy. We give that, we give that boy so much credit. Sometimes I don't even mention of his name when things are going wrong. That's when it's a very important for us to be sensitive in the spirit of God while being sensitive. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're going through, it's good to just shut up. I'm not saying shut down. I'm just saying shut up. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude using that term or using it loosely, but please forgive me if anyone take it out of context, but that's the only word that I can find that we all can understand. I don't want to use the word hush because we're not babies.
Right.
But we're using a strong term, and it's not disrespectful, but what it is I'm in so much pain. Have you ever been in so much pain where you had to hold your mouth, over your hand over your mouth because you didn't want to scream?
Oh, yeah.
You know, think about the people of God being in so much excruciating and fear. So what made the enemy, listen, what made the enemy even more greater is that they were afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll say it again in a different way. In other words, our enemies are not that great. They're not that strong. They're not that powerful. We make them powerful when the spirit of fear comes in.
Right.
So we give them power. We endorse them. So, you know, having this man come into the kingdom of God, and you know, you got to be looking all strange when somebody coming in your house taking over, and you not do nothing or fight back. Thinking about fighting back, this man was tired. He just lost a lot of men, and he was coming from war, and now he stopped. Just makes a pit stop on the way home.
Uh-huh.
Picks up his neighbor and their families and their people. They're intelligent people is what he did. That's another thing. God used intelligence. The enemy sometimes, he just gets anything, but God is very strategic. So when he gets the first batch, he gets Daniel. He gets people of, and these were young people in power. These wasn't older people.
Mm-hmm.
Look how many things that are going on right now. Now, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, but it don't mean that he doesn't allow confusion.
That's right. Absolutely.
So those are just some of the things that just kind of just picking up as I'm reading the scripture, because the 24th verse talks about the enemy coming in and taking over Judah. Now, we got to realize because the northern kingdom is already exiled. It's already destroyed.
Right.
So there is no northern kingdom. That means the 10 tribes are there are no 10 tribes. There's only two tribes, Benjamin and Judah. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
These are the two tribes that they're referring to. Benjamin is the sign of the wolf.
Right.
Okay. Seal of the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do, they travel in packs. All right. The Benjamites.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Judah, the sign of the lion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The praise. So, you know, you have these last two generations are now being skeptics because of their own false identities. And I can't just blame them. We got to blame the leader, too. We got to blame Solomon because he did all of this, but then he allowed these women. And if you read the book of Solomon very carefully, you'll see that the Bible said that Solomon allowed these women said, I can't love you, Solomon, not unless you allow me to bring my God in.
Yes, right. That's exactly what they said.
You know, so now picture this. The most wisest man become the most dumbest man.
Mm-hmm.
He's wise, but now he's dumb. But he's still wise because he understood the art of love.
Right.
And he knew.
That's right.
In order for me, because now these are my concubines, my wives, he married the majority of them. So now these foreign gods, he's learning about them. They were intrigued.
Right.
And let's be honest, a lot of us are nosy. And I'm not just talking about, that's really how God made us. Nosy is not really the best word to use, but he made us intrigued by the things of life. That's why we're trying to find out what's going on in space. That's why we are dissecting animals. That's why we're dissecting people. That's why we are studying different species. I do believe that there's aliens in the earth. Please, by all means, don't think that we haven't caught one or did some type of biopsy. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
Jesus didn't just die for our universe. Please, don't get it twisted.
Right.
There's other life forms out there, and they're not trying to kill us. They're studying us, too.
Right.
There's some green men. There's some blue men out there. Come on. Star Trek wasn't made out of nothing. You know, the next boy is the next generation, you know. And I don't mean to get off topic, but all I'm saying is that when we get into the nitty-gritty of it all, we're all curious by nature.
Yeah.
We're just curious by nature. And, you know, when God began to do different things, it just causes us to see things a little differently. And, you know, Solomon began to see things differently. And somehow, I don't know how, but through wisdom, he was able to bring peace in the world. The Bible says in the days of Solomon, there was peace.
Mm-hmm.
There was no war.
No.
For 40 years, there was no war.
Mm-hmm. But it's taken over, man, now. It seemed like that's how they did. In Kings was fight, war. Jerusalem had been destroyed about 27 times. Each time the city was built, had been rebuilt upon that rubble that they had. They just left out there and built the city again. I'm just telling you, it's something how they burnt down the temple and tore the city down. I'm just telling you. And it had to be rebuilt. But Jerusalem was burned, honey. They took it down. I'm telling you. And I guess sometimes that's what's best because you need to be clean. It needs to be clean and anointed again. And I guess you have to just tear it all up and rebuild everything from fresh. So now this book is over. We'll start on Thursday in Chronicles and see what he's talking about in Chronicles, because right here, right now in the Book of Kings, I mean, everything is tore up in Jerusalem and Judah. Everything is tore down because of their disobedience. So, but anyway, I'm not going to hold you all because it's past our stopping time, but it was just so good to me. And a prophetess McKinney said, thank you. I don't know why she can't speak. I don't know what's going on, but I got you open if you want to speak. You can. Maybe a place that you cannot speak, but it's okay. But she said, thank you for the teaching you was teaching, talking about. I think that's what she's saying. So we're going to get ready to go off here. We're going to stop right here. And on Thursday, you know, Thursday is our three chapters. And I hope everybody got the papers, the questions for First and Second Chronicles. Because if you don't, you let me know. I'll get Prophetess Brown to send you Gmail. I mean, by email or text them to you, and you can get pull them off yourself. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, God. We thank you for opening up our understanding, God. We thank you just for giving us this nightcap to sleep on, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray for everyone that's up under the sound of my voice on tonight, God. Lord, just cover them now. Cover their families. Cover their homes and vehicles. Everyone that they love, Father, cover now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You all go on Thursday. We'll be back with three chapters now. We're in First Chronicles. It probably won't be but some generational stuff, but we're still in First Chronicles. If you do not have that, if you don't have them, let me know. I'll get them to you, Prophetess Brown, and get them to you. She had to work tonight. So God bless you all. I love you. You all have a wonderful rest of your night, and we'll be back on here. I'll be on in the morning, but we'll be back to Bible study Thursday. Have a good night, everyone.
Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good night.